Those of wealth, the holders of capital, pass away. From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.
Berkeley Earth Day, Saturday, April 23rd, noon to 5 p.m. in Civic Center Park, Alston and MLK and downtown Berkeley.
I've seen our people working throughout this mighty land, and I've prayed we'd get together and together make a stand. Then we own those banks of marble with the God.
International Workers' Day. This year, the Community Alliance invites you to celebrate May Day with a screening of the new Naomi Klein release, The Take. This film documents the worker takeover and operation of an auto parts factory in post-economic collapse Argentina. This film asks the question, can workers of the world fire their bosses, resist, produce, and create a new world based on cooperation, equality, and justice? Come find out Sunday, May 1st at 6 p.m. at the Hudson Gardens Barn at 4247 North Thorne Avenue.
Hey, somebody answer that phone. By the way, you're listening to KFCF 88.1 FM here in Fresno, California, and for the Central Valley. It's Friday, and it's time to clear the air with your host, Mr. Kevin Hall.
Thank you, Richard. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Clearing the Air, transportation, land use, and air quality issues in the Central San Joaquin Valley. Jim Compton Schmidt, my usual co-host, cannot be here today. He's getting a little clean air break over at the coast, although it's been lovely here for the last few weeks, and we're enjoying that time of year, if you don't suffer from allergies, when the air is indeed quite sweet. Happy Earth Day to everybody. I hope you're planning to go out to Avocado Lake on Sunday and join the big celebration out there, as well as learn about the threats, direct threat on land use to a very significant cultural site known to most of us as Jesse Morrow Mountain. And the serious threats there, and you can sign up for tours if you get out there early. For information, go to FresnoEarthDay.org. One other thing I'd like you to do for Earth Day, if you would, please, and that is go out and buy a copy of Mother Jones or go to the library and take a look at this special issue called As the World Burns. And this is a very significant issue dedicated to the issue of global warming, and you can read an extensive and in-depth review of the crisis. Okay, so here we are on Earth Day with a variety of things to look at. You know, this nightmare of a Bush energy bill, our own California Congressman Pombo having a press conference in front of a gas station to talk about the need for drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and saying that his constituents demand this. You know, there's just so much we could tackle on the national and international level, but why do that? We've got so much to deal with right here at home. Whether you're looking at the waste transfer station issue in West Fresno, and they have an animal rendering plant issue coming up shortly, dramatic threats to the healthy environment of those residents, to Fancher Creek in southeast Fresno, to Millerton Newtown out on the north end, it just seems to pile on. And at one point, you've got to stop and ask yourself, well, what can I do? I mean, what would be really constructive? If I could just for a day, 2 days, focus on one issue and make some concrete progress on it, what would be a good thing to do? Here to answer that question for you today is Mark Stout from Fresno Metro Ministry and a member of the Central Valley Air Quality Coalition, and the website for the group is calcleanair.org. Mark is here to talk about Clean Air Action Days 2005. Mark, what's the skinny?
Thank you for having me on the show, Kevin.
Man, you've got the tubes. There's a radio voice. Go for it.
I used to do one of these KFCF shows and decades ago was on in New Jersey. But let's talk about the Central Valley Air Quality Coalition's Clean Air Action Days 2005. Basically, you know, we know what the problem is. The air quality is, by many measures, the worst in the nation here in the Valley. We have over 1,000 premature deaths every year valley-wide due to the air quality. We've got something, I think the cardiopulmonary costs of healthcare because of air quality is something on to the tune of $350 million a year. And this is like an astounding problem by any measure. And so the Central Valley Air Quality Coalition is a group of over 30 organizations, including the Sierra Club, the Fresno Metro Ministry, Latino Issues Forum, a few different asthma coalitions up and down the valley, Medical Advocates for Healthy Air. I could go on for a long time. Working together to get some legislation through up in Sacramento, which will help address the air quality problem. We're doing a training for how to lobby, how to talk with your elected officials on Wednesday, May 4th. It's an evening training, 6 to 9:30, over at the UC Center here in Fresno. And then the next Monday, May 9th, we're going to be packing buses and taking folks from the valley up to Sacramento to tell them about the kind of legislation that would help address our air quality issues.
And so the beauty of this, Mark, is that obviously we're not only calling directly on the legislators who cast the votes that will shape the air pollution rules and regulations that will clean our air, but people will get a chance to get prepared on these pieces of legislation. We're not just going in there dumb. It's about, we have in the coalition five, maybe six, what we call tier one bills.
Right. And the tier one bills will be the bills that will be speaking with the legislators at most length. There's one bill in particular, SB 999, which would do a lot by expanding the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District's governing board. It would really help bring some public health voices onto the board, as well as give some representation to some of the valley's bigger cities.
So, for example, you're a resident of the city of Fresno. The city of Fresno last had a seat on the air board when?
In 1993 was the last time that a city council person represented the city of Fresno.
Excuse me, that might have been Tom Bohegian.
That was Tom Bohegian,
okay.
Yes. another example of one of the three major cities. The city of Stockton has never had a representative on the air district governing board.
And so SB 999 would give permanent seats to the three largest cities.
As well as adding public appointments for four different seats that would represent public health perspectives, such as a medical expert, somebody who has environmental impacts of air quality, environmental justice. It would add those perspectives to
That's
the governing board.
Wonderful. Yeah. So if people want information, Mark, is there a phone number and a website that they can go to?
But of course, Kevin.
But of course.
We'd really appreciate getting calls in to 559-485-1416 and ask for Carolina or Mark, and you'll get to talk with me if I'm in. And the reason we want you to call is so that we can get you registered for the free food and junket up to Sacramento. So if you're coming for the training on May 4th, we want to make sure that we've got a meal with your name on it, and that's all taken care of. Everything will be free to the participants. We really want your time and energy and voice, not your money. Again, it's 559-485-1416, and the website is calcleanair.org.
Okay. Mark, thank you very much. And folks, I really want to encourage you, if you just want to be able to do something where you feel like you're making a difference, I guarantee you this makes a difference. When we went through this 2 years ago with the legislation to remove the ag exemption, it took this kind of concerted effort. It took people from the valley going to Sacramento to talk to legislators who are outside of the valley, assembly members and senators, especially from the urban areas, particularly moderate Democrats, who needed to hear how important this was, and they have to hear it from you. They have to hear it from the residents of the San Joaquin Valley. Mark, thanks again, and good luck on Monday or Friday night training and Wednesday night training,
you
May
got
4th,
it.
And the Monday trip on May 9th. And that number one last time is area code 559-485-1416. That's Carolina or Mark at Fresno Metro Ministry.
Thank you for having me on the show, Kevin.
Thanks. Way to go.
This is the KFCF Community Calendar. The Wesley United Methodist Church Committee on Reconciliation is holding a conference, Love Welcomes All, Another Loving Perspective to Religious Intolerance, Friday, April 22nd through Sunday, April 24th. Wesley United Methodist Church is at 1343 East Barstow in Fresno. For more information, call 224-1947. One by One Leadership, a faith-based nonprofit, is holding Transforming Urban Fresno Conference 2005, Friday, April 22nd at Cornerstone Church, 1525 Fulton. For more information, call 233-2000. The Reedley Peace Center presents speaker Mater Vang, a cultural organizer for the Pan Valley Institute, Friday, April 22nd from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. The Pan Valley Institute strives to make a place for immigrants and refugees to gather, learn from each other, and rebuild their world. The Reedley Peace Center is at the First Mennonite Church on L Street in Reedley. California State University Fresno Students of English Studies Association is having their spring conference with keynote speaker Tricia Rose, Saturday, April 23rd at 5:30 p.m. in room UC 200. General meeting of the Central Valley Progressive PAC, Saturday, April 23rd, 3:30 to 5 p.m. at the Fresno Center for Nonviolence, 1584 North Van Ness. Fresno Folklore Society presents Uptown Co-op Chocolate Dance at the Kennedy Hall at the North Fork School, Saturday, April 23rd, 6 to 10:30 p.m. For tickets or information, call 877-4527. The United Farm Workers Union in Bakersfield is having a march to honor the legacy and continue the work of Cesar Chavez, Sunday, April 24th, starting at 11 a.m. at El Mercado Latino in Bakersfield. Sunday, April 24th, noon to sunset, Earth Day at Avocado Lake. For information about carpooling, call 681-8886. Sunday, April 24th, 7 p.m., KFCF will air a special program called William Saroyan, It's All in the Family. Public forum at City Hall. The Commission on Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies will be in Fresno Monday, April 25th at 7 p.m. to have public input about the Fresno Police Department. If you would like to comment, this event will be at City Hall, 7 p.m., or there will be a telephone line open between 3 and 7 p.m. The number will be 621-2107. This has been the KFCF.
And welcome back. Let's clear the air with Kevin Hall.
Thank you, Richard. And now for our next guest, Mary Savala. Mary is with the League of Women Voters, and she is co-chair of the Measure C Reauthorization Committee. Measure C is the half-cent retail sales tax that everybody's been paying since 1987, following voter approval in November 1986. The half-cent tax is due to expire in 2007. There is an effort, again, to put the measure on the ballot for reauthorization to continue the tax for transportation needs in Fresno County. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's especially nice to be here on Earth Day.
It is indeed, and our focus is local issues that affect the Earth. Perhaps in that context, you could tell us, how do you see Measure C and transportation spending affecting the Earth here in Fresno County?
Oh, it's a big part of clean air and how we use the land that we have been given. And it's the hope that in the next 20, 30 years that we can do things better than we've done in the past and differently, and address some of the air quality issues that have arisen out of the consequences we didn't foresee about the reliance that we've had on private vehicles to get around.
Mm-hmm. Well, we, of course, I'm also on the reauthorization committee, and you and I were, as part of a coalition, also on the committee back in 2001 through 2002, and ended up stepping out of the process and toward the end and having to say, well, it's not good enough and we're going to have to oppose it. I think folks are pretty clear on at least if they listen to the show regularly, and that's always not a sure thing, but let's just talk about since then what's happened. The tax was defeated in November 2002. More than 2 years have passed. What has transpired and where are we today?
Well, there was a lot of bad feeling. This is a very important contribution to the economy of our valley, and there's a lot of concern about extending it and keeping that stream of revenue flowing for transportation systems. And when it failed, there was a lot of disappointment, and that manifested itself in some contemplation of navels to see what happened and where we were supposed to be going. Those who were involved in opposing it the last time and who had some real issues about addressing air quality and providing a better public transportation system and better pedestrian and bicycle access began meeting the very week after the election and talking about what we do next. And they sat down every week together, almost every week on a Tuesday morning, to organize themselves. Now, I want to remind your audience that they're all volunteers. They're not paid staff government, and they're not business vested interests either, so this was all voluntary. And there wasn't a response from the government or the business community to the need to begin working on another attempt to reauthorize Measure C. It took some time for people to look at what had happened and decide what to do. So about a year ago or better, it was about 18 months ago, and you know better than I, Kevin, you were sitting in that big group of people that finally sat down together with the mediator. And I have to give credit to Susan Anderson with the Board of Supervisors and the then Supervisor Juan Arambula, who said, look, you know, we've got to do something. And so they put a little money toward hiring a mediator who could bring both sides together and get them to talk sensibly and reasonably to one another. And out of that effort came together 10 people from diverse community backgrounds and began working on the effort to discover a process by which we could come together again with the reauthorization committee.
Yeah, we basically all had a bad breakup.
Yeah, we had it was like a well, I won't call it a marriage, but it was a bad family thing, and we needed some mediation, and we needed it over time, and we learned to trust and I think respect other people's points of view. And the 10 members of this working group that began talking about the process for the reauthorization also had to learn to trust and learn to respect one another. And so this steering committee that's been put together is very promising. And in light of all of the things that you've been talking about that are not going very well, like the energy bill, that's a personal opinion. And also the League of Women Voters is very much opposed to drilling in the Arctic and would like to see an energy bill that focuses a lot more on renewable sources of energy.
Well, apparently the energy bill, not to go too far astray, dedicates only 6% of the tax breaks to renewables.
Right.
Anyhow, but so today, for example, the Measure C Reauthorization Committee met.
Yes.
And I believe this is our second official public meeting. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And there will be, it looks like, there will be two a month. They're open to the public, and the Reauthorization Committee is going to make extraordinary efforts to make themselves available to the community, not just come to our meetings in downtown Fresno, but to go out to every city in the county twice, at least twice, and talk there in the context of a city council meeting or a workshop and ask the public to come and tell us what you think of a Measure C. And then as we get closer to an expenditure plan, meaning how we're going to cut this pot of money up and how we propose to spend revenues, what do you think of these proposals? And there will be as many opportunities as we can think of to make the steering committee available to the public.
Well, now, and to that end, there have been three subcommittees formed, and you are chairing, am I correct, the Public Education and Outreach Subcommittee?
It's called Public Participation Community Outreach.
Public Participation Community Outreach.
Right.
I don't recall having had such a committee the last time around.
No, there wasn't. No.
And nor do I recall one of the community leaders, such as yourself, being a co-chair of the effort. I mean, good enough. The Chamber of Commerce representative, a fine man, was a co-chair. But in terms of the community-based organizations, the volunteers, they weren't in that leadership position. That to me signifies a shift in the dynamic. Do you take it the same way?
Oh yes, I do. And the other thing that's going on now is that there's equity at the table. Everyone there has equal voice, and there's a whole different ambiance in this. I've heard, and this is very encouraging to me, responses to the questions of public participation in the process coming from people who heretofore were saying, who are these people who are here? And now they are explaining to the community at large why this is so important to have the public involved. And of course, a major C reauthorization, we're talking about a tax, it requires a two-thirds vote. And so if we keep our eye on the prize, we want to be sure that everybody supports this, and that there are things in there that everybody can support. That I've said this over and over again, is everybody who pays this tax ought to benefit from it. We need to be sure that there's a benefit for those people who rely on public transportation. We're sure there's a benefit for those school children who need to walk to school for their good health. We need to address the disabled and the seniors in our community that need to be safe when they walk, and to find reliable, convenient, safe transportation, public transportation. You know, I was thinking a lot this week about the common good and public places, and looking around our city at what makes it a wonderful city. And I was just downtown at noon today in a public place, and I was thinking, this is great. Investment in the public good is the kind of investment that makes our community prosper. And a renewal of a Measure C that's an investment in the public good will be a wonderful thing for this community.
Well, do you think that that's always a balancing act, or at least a balancing act of differing opinions about what is best for the public? And, you know, there's a lot of emphasis in some sectors on, you know, freeway transportation for goods movement. You know, we got to get the trucks to the different parts of town in a quick, easy way, get them off the streets, reduce congestion and exposure to diesel exhaust and valid concerns, yet balanced with, as you're describing, the other areas of public good regarding public transportation and public space. Do you think that a Measure C can facilitate public space as well as transportation projects? Is there a blend there?
Yes, I can. I think there's a realization that to make public transportation work, we need to be able to design our communities differently. So, and that's for so we can get around without even having to use motor vehicles. Vehicles. And the other thing...
Oh, I'm sorry. We have to stop and revisit that concept for a moment. Get around without having to get into the car or even the bus always.
That's right. We need to be able to walk to the grocery store for a quart of milk instead of getting in your car and driving down the street and around the corner to go to the shopping center that is, you know, not very far as crows fly, but pretty far if you have to get through neighborhoods that don't access that shopping center very well, except by car.
And I interrupted you. I'm sorry. You were...
No, that's fine. I think there's also some other issues here that we're going to have to decide in the reauthorization committee, and that's the balance between the rural communities and the urban communities as far as transportation needs. The balance between, I lost my thought there for a
minute. Are there big differences between urban and rural needs? What do you think and I know the coalition has been looking into this for the last 2 years. What are the differences?
Well, an urban public transportation system may function differently than a rural transportation system. Smaller communities may find that what they need is signal lights and maintenance. That was the other issue I was going to say, the balance between building new capacity in our streets and roads and maintaining what we have already. We have a huge backlog of potholes that need to be filled. And what we're hearing from the rural communities is that they really need money to do things like a new stoplight. They need to repair their roads. And they're looking at other ways to build increased capacity, as they should. And there is the issue of why doesn't new development pay the cost of the infrastructure that serves it. Why should the taxpayers alone support that?
Because and I imagine that the reason one would want them to pay their full costs is so that the tax revenue being generated both through the sales tax but also through property taxes can fund the maintenance of the existing system.
That's right.
And so what you're suggesting is that the impact fees are not covering the cost of, say, a new road or a road expansion, which means adding lanes to a road to handle that additional traffic?
Or putting in a left turn lane because you have increased traffic at an intersection due to a business that's opening there. I've been kind of painting a rosy picture of the reauthorization committee and all the warm, fuzzy feelings that are around the table today. But there is a lot of hard work ahead in determining these balances and sorting out rural versus urban and public transportation versus highway capacity expansion versus how much we would choose to put into maintenance.
Mary, this process is getting the peace sign with three fingers from the sound room. So we'll watch our last 3 minutes here and start thinking about people wanting to get involved in the process. And I know it's always difficult to have phone numbers and websites set up early, but I would assume that the Fresno COG is at the very least going to be this committee is an official function of the Fresno County Council of Governments, yes?
Yes, exactly.
And then the committee's charge is to make a recommendation to the COG in the form of an expenditure plan to take to the voters. So if a person wants to have their voice heard, wants to get involved in this process, what do you recommend they do?
You can attend those meetings, and they will be publicly announced. The next one will be, am I right, May 6th?
There's a workshop on the visioning.
Right.
Yes.
On May 6th, and that will be held at the
Fresno Workforce Investment Board?
Right above Club 1, and that meeting will begin at 8 o'clock in the morning on May 6th. You can begin also looking at the COG website. I think that's FresnoCog.org.
Yes. Yes. So FresnoCog.org.
And then click the Measure C and see what they're telling you about it. The members of the reauthorization committee come from various community backgrounds. And so if you belong to a church congregation, many of our churches are involved in faith-based efforts for social justice in our community, and there's a representative there, faith and community as representative. If you belong to a bicycle group, you have a representative. Kevin, of course, you represent the Sierra Club. I represent the League and League members and their families, and the way that we can reach out, our urge to communicate. And the members of the reauthorization committee are encouraged and are going to go out to their constituency and hear what the constituency wants. So that's one way you can get involved, too.
Well, that's terrific. So folks can also, I'm afraid we don't have the phone number in front of us today, but in terms of COG, they are listed in the business pages, actually, as the Council of Fresno County Governments, and it is FresnoCog.org on the web, and the League of Women Voters is in the phone book. The Sierra Club Tehipity chapter is in the phone book, and if anybody wants to learn more in order to be involved or have their voice heard, and there are going to be a long series of workshops, we obviously strongly encourage people to contact someone that they feel most comfortable contacting.
One more thing. Fresno has an elected representative on this committee, and so does Clovis. Susan Anderson represents the Board of Supervisors, and East Side Cities and West Side Cities have representatives.
Yeah, so we have Mayor Lynn Ashbeck from Clovis and Henry T. Perea from the Fresno City Council and Mayor Trinidad Rodriguez from Kerman, Mayor Armando Lopez from Port
Mike Lear. Montalongo.
Oh, I'm sorry, Montalongo. Okay. We're going to wrap it up. Mary, thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And there's a lot of work in the next less than a year, so we'll have you back if you're willing to come back and update the listeners.
Yeah.
Great. Richard, thank you very much. Richard Gomez at the Control Board. You've listened to Clearing the Air. Join us next month on the fourth Friday at 3:30. I'm your host, Kevin Hall. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Thank you very much, Kevin Hall. Before we leave, let's remind people know that on Sunday, April 24th at 6:30 p.m. here at KFCF 88.1 FM, we'll air a special program on the Armenian Genocide. Armenia, the 20th century's first genocide.
Tune in to KFCF on Sunday, April 24th at 7 p.m. when we air a special program called William Saroyan, It's All in the Family. Host Nuria Ibars will interview Hank Saroyan, who shared a vibrant relationship with his uncle during the last day.